You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. Leaving work in a mood? Time to change that with Overdrive.
I've run out of gas probably 15 times in my life.
How do you live like that?
I used to have it down to a science when you're on empty.
No, you didn't. I hate to break it to you. There's no science.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, Ray Ferraro coming up in just a moment. The Leafs are back in action tomorrow night in Colorado. We will tee that game up with Ray. The Raptors playing tonight. Brooklyn in town, Marc Gasol making his home debut. You can hear that right here on TSN 1050. Fred VanVleet out for 3 weeks with a thumb injury, but Jeremy Lin will be bought out by Atlanta, and he's going to be signed by the Raptors, so Linsanity is coming to Toronto. So there should be a lot of buzz down at Scotiabank tonight. There's a ton of buzz at the Bell Center on Saturday night. I was a bit surprised by how many Leaf fans showed up. Because usually Montreal, you know, it's not like the Habs are a terrible team, and you would think the home crowd would be selling off their tickets.
Yeah.
Leaf fans always show up in Montreal, and Habs fans show up in Toronto, too. It goes both ways.
It's a weekend event for Toronto fans. They're like, they're getting on the train, they're driving down. Toronto in Montreal is a weekend getaway, I find.
I've always found that. But didn't it seem like there were more on Saturday? I mean, it felt that way to me.
They just kept panning. That's the go-to of, like, the cameraman. Find me a Leaf jersey. Find me, like, I don't know. You can't tell.
Well, but the broadcast crew pointed that out, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Houston said a couple of times it feels like it's close to 50-50.
Well, don't kid yourself. There's a lot of red jerseys when they play in Toronto.
Yeah, there is. But I've never witnessed 50-50. I've been to a bunch of Leaf-Habs games.
50-50 is a lot.
50-50 in a major market like that. That was surprising to me.
Yeah. I don't know. If somebody was there, they can give us a shout. It didn't seem like it was 50-50 to me. That's a bit rich.
Well, were you in the building?
I know, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. Somebody pointed out, like, there's no way it was 50-50. There's not a chance.
How do you know that? How do you know there weren't 10,000 Maple Leaf fans?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, I know, like, they travel well. There's no way they bought up half the building. That's utter insanity.
Okay. Well, let's see if we can corroborate that report.
A super fan's going to go, I was there.
What, you think 50-50? Houston's a huge super fan? Like, Jim Houston's a Maple Leaf fan.
But I think 50-50 is slightly rich. That would be my guess.
That's your guess from afar.
But again, I'm from afar. I watched it on TV.
Too, like 50-50 is too much.
Maybe it's 30-70, which would still be traveling very well. Like, let's not.
I'm going to go with 50-50.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 50-50.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Just to bother Habs fans.
Yeah, I don't think it was.
Okay.
But maybe. You never know.
Hey, maybe 60-40. We'll meet in the middle. You guys say 70-30. I'll say 50-50, so we'll go with 60-40.
Exactly.
Still, nevertheless,
traveled,
you know, for a Montreal team that was a point behind, you know, I understand StubHub and the secondary market and all that, but at some point, ticket holders must have been selling their tickets, and Leaf fans bought them up.
Exactly.
Which happens in Buffalo all the time. It happens in Ottawa. I don't expect to see it in Montreal is my point. Yeah. Even if it is 70-30, seems a bit rich. I've been to, again, a bunch of Leafs-Habs games. It might be 80-20. Maybe.
Right.
Maybe. And that's when the Leafs were brutal, and the Habs were, like, a really good team.
Yeah.
The Habs are here 2 Saturdays from now. There's no way it'll be close to 50-50 or 60-40.
No. No.
Safe to say that?
There'll be a lot of Habs fans, but not that much.
No.
No, like, not even close.
But I don't think there was 50-50 the other night. I think that's exaggeration.
Okay.
Right. Just slight.
I wasn't in the building, so
neither
what
was
do you
I.
Want
I was just watching it, but it's easy for the broadcast of every time.
Shoot us a note if you're in the barn. Like, let us know.
Yeah, if you were there, send us a text, 1050-50, or email us live at tsn1050.ca.
But a non-biased fan, send one in.
Well,
that's the thing.
Dylan sending this text in. Now, he wasn't there on Saturday night.
Well, then
because he's got his own anecdote here. He said he was at the Bell Center last year, the November 18th game, and he said it was definitely 50-50.
Yeah, okay. Well, a year and a half ago, that's thanks for your input. Like, what does that got to do with a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
Like, where the team was... Montreal was really bad last year, were they not? So I'm sure those tickets probably went a lot...
Well, that was early in the year, though. Jackson tweeting in. I was at the game. It was 50-50.
Yeah, no. Not a chance. All sorry, right. Jackson. Don't believe you.
All right.
Non-biased fans, send in a note.
Michael tweeting in. I was at the game. It was closer to 60-40 Habs. There you go.
Well,
unbiased Michael. That's his handle on Twitter.
The realist has spoken.
The realist.
At the real Michael.
Put it this way. The Leafs traveled well, and they had a lot of fans there the other night.
Yeah. 60-40. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. Hey, Ray.
I was on my couch. It was 76-24.
See, that sounds about right to me.
So,
you know, like how many tickets could be available?
Exactly.
50%.
So Franklin just sent a note to me, and he said, got a buddy that was a camera operator there, 70-30, I'm told.
Well, oh, Franklin,
everybody's
you
got
that?
A story.
Well, that's the point. It's
Art Franklin
just sent me a note.
He can't count.
He's not the guy. He said he had a buddy who was a cameraman.
No, but I'm just saying, you know, Franklin can't count.
Yeah, I know. We're not sure what's going on. We're basically arguing about how many fans were in the building instead of talking about what a great game that was.
Right, but it's more interesting us doing this. Yes. I think it's compelling radio.
Yes, I'm sure it's compelling.
Yeah, someone texting in saying Hayes is talking about this like Trump talked about his inauguration crowd. Fake news, lying Brian Hayes. All right, that's fine.
It was the most people ever here.
way bigger than any other inauguration.
Don't let those pictures fool you.
No, why would we allow evidence to actually dictate, you know, the facts here? But Noodles is right. Saturday night, I don't know if you got a chance to see it, Ray, but it was an awesome game.
That was so fun. Like, it was, I can't believe, like, the change in Montreal this year. And for a guy that both Noodles and I played with, and he was one of the funniest humans, in Mark Bergevin. Some of his moves over the last couple of years, you go, man, this team's not getting better. It's getting worse. He says after last year, this is about attitude. We can be better fast. And quietly, they changed 8 players on the roster. And, man, they don't even look like anything like last year's team. I'm amazed, honestly, how fast they are. Because last year, eventually Toronto would have run them over with speed, and that it would have just happened. But everything looks different. Their style of play is different. They don't fiddle around with that D-to-D pass and nice and slow up the other side. Man, it's up the ice. It's fast. It's, you know, the goalie is back to being all-world Carey Price. I thought the game was awesome. It felt like one of those, you know, a February playoff game. You're like, wow, where did that come from? That was great.
Well, if that ends up happening and they meet in the first round, I would assume home ice will factor into this. Let's say the Leafs end up with home ice. Vegas would have the Maple Leafs as a favorite, but would they be a moderate favorite, a heavy favorite? I mean, play odds makers for us, Ray, based on what we know today, Leafs versus Habs in a 7-game series.
So we're thinking about it as like the season just played, like the season ended today.
Right. Game one tonight. Game one, this roster on both sides, game one tonight.
I would say Leafs small favorite.
Okay.
But a favorite. You know, like not a pick 'em. I would pick them to win the series. You know, they don't have the goaltending, I would say, I'll say it's a wash. The defense, you know, we don't love Toronto's defense, although it's been better than it has been since Muzzin's arrived. But Montreal doesn't have a great defense. And then up front, I think Toronto's got a couple more game breakers. But I would think it would be fun and super fast and really intense. And man, that would be a fun series to have.
Yeah, it really would be. I don't think you can go wrong. You know, if it's Montreal or Boston, the storylines kind of write themselves, and I would expect a pretty lengthy series in both scenarios.
Yeah.
You know, I think, based on history, if it's Leafs-Bruins, the Bruins would probably be favored. Regardless of where we sit on April 10th, people would just say, well, history. Boston has their number, and history would dictate that it's going to get to 7. The Leafs will have the lead in the third period, and they'll lose somehow. But with Montreal, I think it's a little bit, that's a pretty jaded statement, huh?
That really was.
I think I've been down this road before, only a couple of times. But either way, you can't really go wrong. And Habs-Bruins, I mean, there's an incredible recent history, let alone the long-standing history between those two teams.
I think when they went to the divisions, this is kind of what they were hoping for, like when they redid the divisions in the playoff format. Too many times, though, it's not that. There's, you know, the newness of a Toronto-Montreal series would kick it way over the top. You know, these historical franchises that haven't played in 40 years, and, man, that would be awesome. Then, of course, the recent history of the Bruins and the the Bruins and the Leafs. But go to another division, and if Columbus plays Washington 4 years in a row, is that like stoking anybody up? Maybe, but not the same as this.
Ray, of the teams in the Atlantic, who do you think might kind of double down here and load up? Boston? I mean, I don't even know if Tampa has any room to do anything. Toronto? How do you kind of see things playing up here leading to the trade deadline?
I think Boston's the team that has enough prospects to be the most aggressive. They've got a bucket load of young guys. They got a couple of centers in Forsbacka, Carlson, and Frederick that would be part of any deal they could make going forward. They have young guys like Donato. Would they get into Danton Heinen? I don't know. Anders Bjork, who is a really good prospect, who's been hurt 2 years in a row. Would a team be interested in him? But Boston's looking for another game breaker. I found it interesting. They moved finally. Well, not finally, but they moved Pasternak off the Bergeron-Marchand line to play with Krejci. I mean, they're looking for some depth because, you know, as everybody knows, it's shut those guys down, and you've pretty well shut the Bruins down. So I'm thinking the Bruins are the most aggressive team in the division.
What about this Maple Leaf power play? Getting back to them quickly, the numbers are pretty astonishing. I mean, they're 4 for their last 43 since December 20th, yeah. Under 10%. And I know they had a bunch of chances last night. And if you just focused on last night's game, you put that in a bubble, you'd be like, wow, they must be running at 35%.
They're really moving it around.
Yeah. But if you don't score, you know, what are you really accomplishing? It's really that simple on the power play, right? It's not about killing time and looking good. At some point, you got to execute.
Right. The one stat I saw was in the previous 10 games, the Leafs power play had 22 shots. Last night they had 23. Like, just think of that. They had 22 shots in the previous 10 games on the power play. That's abysmal. That's like Thrasher power play. and that shouldn't be. So now all of a sudden you've got a chance here, and you go into New York and you get 23 shots, and man, they should have had 4 or 5 goals. They don't get any, but you have to look at this like, okay, this is finally something we can build on. They didn't look like they were struggling or lost or not. How the hell do we get into the zone? You know, which has happened way too frequently for them. I don't know how the wheels came off, guys, but they were off. And last night, look, that looked like how the power play looked in the beginning of the year, except they never shot it in the net. I'm more encouraged after seeing that, and I think I think the guys they have are too good to be, you know, to be skunked for too long here. It's been too long, but last night felt like a little bit of a tipping point.
So Randy Carlyle finally got his wish and got fired because you could tell. I don't know if you saw his comments over the weekend, but he was basically saying, "I can't believe I'm still here. Like, this is shocking. What else do you want me to do?" You know. And eventually he got fired, and Bob Murray, the GM, now is going behind a bench as a player. Like, let's say you're Ryan Getzlaff. You would have a relationship with Murray. He's been the GM for quite some time.
Yeah.
But does this affect you at all? Like, how are you supposed to react to your GM, who has no coaching experience at the NHL level?
Well, regardless of who takes over, there's always the ass-kissing stage where somebody's like, I got a fresh chance to work hard every shift and back-check and try to impress.
Win him over.
So who cares who's going behind the bench? There's always going to be that transition period where everyone's like, oh, new guy, I want a new opportunity. It's going to be different and awkward, I would imagine.
Well, the most awkward part would I think, is, you know, in a lot of times the new guy comes in and nobody even knows the new guy. You know, he comes from the minors or he comes from another organization, or, you know, he wasn't high, you know, he wasn't working at the time, and you're like, man, he doesn't know any of us. You can see them, they're staring at their name cards behind the bench because they don't even know which line goes where. Bob Murray built this team. And so there can be no surprises now. What I find interesting here is, so Murray goes down and he's got as close a view to whatever the heck he's going to do in the offseason. They don't want to bring Dallas Aikens up if he's to coach, if he's going to be the guy for next year. Those young kids are doing great in San Diego. And so now if you're Getzlaff or Kessler or Perry, the guy behind the bench just signed you to multi-million dollar contracts, right? He's the guy. And so I would think or hope that they would have some sense of loyalty. But, you know, guys, as you get older, when the team stinks, man, you know it stinks. And there's no, it's not ass-kissing time for those guys. It's, oh, my God, 26 games left.
Yeah.
That's well, where they're at.
Yeah.
But I agree. I think when the guy that controls all the moves is right there, you may see some phoniness, too.
Oh, yeah. You want somebody to act for the GM to say, man, I didn't know that guy worked that hard.
Yeah, you may see some, you know, some stuff where guys are, like, almost like, not an attitude adjustment, but you're like, okay, there's no putting up the facade anymore. Like, he's going to see what the real issue is. If they have, like...
Young guy will score a goal, come back to the bench. Come on, boys. Come on, boys.
They're down 4-1 and yelling, yelling and screaming on the bench.
I used to love that.
Yeah.
Wow. But the one thing I would say, too, is so all the assistants are still there. And I think that the assistants will be far more involved in coaching the team than they would have been under Carlisle.
Yeah.
Because, as you mentioned, Bob Murray's never coached. Like, he's never coached. So I would assume that gets a little confusing down there. Because there's lots of guys that have coached lots of games and they look confused. So when it happened, I went, nah, you know what? That kind of makes sense. Because you're not going to get a guy to coach for 25 games.
No.
Like, go hire a new guy. Don't you think finally at some point the owner goes, I don't really care what you do, but make a change and you can't have any more money for a new coach.
That's basically what happened.
That sounds about right.
Like, obviously, Carlisle has to go optically. Like, from a PR standpoint, we have to tell our fans, you know, we have a pulse. Yes, we're watching the games too. We see what's happening.
Yeah.
But the owner was obviously like, there's no money. Like, you're not. And what, like, to your point, who are you going to, what do you think, Joel Quinville's going to jump on for the final 25 games?
Yeah.
You know, like, who are you going to hire at this point? No,
it's well known that Dallas Eakins is coming up next year and taking over that team.
Right.
I hope those four people that went on the honeymoon. Winnipeg, 9-3. Toronto, 6-1. 4-1, 4-0.
Montreal and 4 Cobb, yeah, and Philly. I hope Dallas Eakins allows donuts in the media room this time around. If he goes on the hero routine, like that'll get tuned out by a veteran group too.
Oh,
here's the thing though. Now, I hope he's learned some things, right?
Yes.
Like we all think we learn something anyway. I don't know if we do, but we all think we do. But a lot of these guys, if Aikens is going to be the coach, he's coached a lot of these guys already. Like, they've got Max Jones and Sam Steele.
Yeah.
And Max Comtois, who was on the junior team. I'm forgetting one other one. Oh, Troy Terry. He's coached them all. Like, that's part of their core going forward, and they're all young. So it makes sense for him to be the next coach.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what'll happen, but it really should be of no concern if the media guys eat pizza for breakfast. Who cares?
Exactly.
Well, it might not be the worst idea for Hitchcock to implement that just for a distraction in Edmonton.
You think?
Just come out one day and be like, you know what? Forget that we got smoked again over the weekend.
No donuts for the crew?
This is what's important right now.
That's
only,
not gonna happen.
You know, fruit and veggies up top.
Oh.
Well, imagine
Terry Jones will get into a feed.
I hated his comments after the game Saturday.
Yeah, so did I.
The coaches can't care more than the players. Stop it.
No kidding.
Seriously.
He's starting to distance himself.
Wow, he's
already
being a hero already.
That's exactly
crazy.
That's exactly what it was. Hey, don't blame me. I care.
Yeah.
Yeah. These guys don't care. They showed up and they don't care and they don't want to win. Like, yeah, it's total, I know I'm out of here and I don't want, if I can get this white out, you know, on my resume, just don't even include this. Yeah. That's what it screamed of to me.
It sounds like a guy that's retiring again and he's had enough and he's like, I'm not having any responsibility for this. I care, but these guys don't.
I hated that comment too.
See, to me, he just said, you know that's us versus them. It never works.
Yeah.
But I will say, after never coaching a day in the NHL, it is way easier to coach in the NHL than it is to play. You can do your job as a coach, and the team can suck, but you can still coach. And you can still do your job. It's not that easy. The team's not good enough. You can't be what you're not. Like, I'm sure, I just did something today, and I looked at, I'm like, how bad are their wingers? If you include Draisaitl as a centerman, in the last 10 games, I'll give you a guess. How many goals have the Oilers scored on the wing position in their last 10 games as a
group? No, I'll say 8.
Yeah. 8 goals in 10 games, and they're playing with Draisaitl, McDavid, and Nugent Hopkins. Seriously. So you can say they're not trying. Maybe they're just not good enough.
Yep.
But that's not a comment a coach should make.
Well, and he couldn't stop himself either, eh? He just kept going and going and going.
Well, he backpedaled
today. Do you think there's an up-and-coming GM like that would say no to that job? Like, is that possible?
In Edmonton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, for a young kind of up-and-comer? I don't know who
depends
that would be.
On, it depends on
you want the Oilers job, and they'd be like,
Yeah, but a lot of
it. Is that possible? Somebody'd say no to that?
But a lot of it depends on, I maintain this, is how much control you're going to have from Daryl Cates and the boys on the bus. That would be a tipping point for me.
I'd say it would be pretty bold for someone without any GM experience to turn down any offer, I would think.
Yeah. But if you're an AGM, you're an AGM and one that's viewed, if I don't know, Ray,
like a Josh McDaniels?
No,
like,
but like a Billy Guerin or a Tommy Fitzgerald or guys that are viewed as...
Kelly McCrimmon.
Like if Kelly McCrimmon, who seems to be viewed as... You know, not even seems to be. He's a bright hockey mind, helped put Vegas together very quickly. And if he goes to Daryl Cates, I need this, this, and this. And Daryl's like, whoa, hold on a second here. I want, like, he may just go, nope, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'll wait for the next opportunity because there is going to be another opportunity.
Well, Seattle's right down the road, too.
Right. You're right. I know what you're saying, Brian. Like, it's opportunity, and I get it, and you've got some pieces there that you can work with. But I think it's all about how much control you can have and creative freedom, because it doesn't seem like there's a lot there.
Well, we've beaten this dead. This horse has been dead for a long time, and we continue to beat on it. But Edmonton, like Saturday, felt a little bit. That felt like that was it, didn't it?
Telling you, San Jose is a team. I think they can come out of the West.
Well, of course, everyone knows San Jose is a great team. I mean, that's not surprising. But you know, like St. Louis won. They beat Nashville, I believe, yesterday
back
again.
To back.
And you know, Vancouver won on Saturday night. Like there's Edmonton's like 7 out now, 6 or 7 out. Yeah. And Hitchcock.
By the way, go ahead.
No, Brian. Just go ahead. Hitch is saying we're done. That's what it felt like to me. Yeah. It was a mic drop on Saturday. That's it. It's over.
Like that, we can't catch. Look, we can't even win 3 games in a row. Look at, you know, that's what it felt like. Vancouver won. I don't know if you guys stayed up to watch that.
Yeah,
I did.
Great game.
They Jacob Markstrom has to be quietly putting together one of the terrific turnaround stories.
Yep.
You know, he's been amazing. And our buddy Travis Green pulled out a great line there. They got outshot 18-1 in the second period. And he said, you know, after the first, we told the guys, look, we don't have our legs. Let's hem them in our end in the second period to tire them out. We used to say that in Atlanta. That was our line. We called it the reverse trap.
Yeah.
Let's hold them in our zone till they get tired. And then we'll go down and try and surprise them with a shot.
Yeah.
Well, that happened. That's Calgary. They're not slowing down either. You know, you talk about San Jose. It's a two-team race in the Pacific.
We haven't even given Calgary a lot of love. We talk about Nashville, Winnipeg. Like, Calgary's right there. Man. They're a good team.
Yep. They've been very good. Well,
would you get a goalie?
I would, but that's just
like a starter, though. Are you going to take Riddick out of the net? Like,
I mean, they would have to be creative. Dave. You'd have to be creative, but they have to think past this year. Both of those guys, like Riddick's an RFA, Smith's going to be a UFA, and like Gillies and Parsons, like they've got. I would be looking at somebody with potentially like that has some term that could help. I don't see Riddick as a 60-game starter, personally.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you. But what are you going to do this deadline? It's either Bobrovsky or nothing, isn't it? Like, who else would be available?
Well, what about Jimmy Howard?
Jimmy Howard or Johnny Quick, it may cost you more, but somebody like that. I don't know, and I'm not in the know. It's just...
A healthy Jonathan Quick would be an interesting move.
That would be a spicy meatball, man.
That would
be. He's on cost certainty at 5'8", too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. But I'm sure they're tinkering on everything. Why wouldn't
you? Man, they're a fun team to watch, boy. They can score and they can skate, and they got maybe they'd add another forward for a little depth of scoring. But the one other thing about that game, you guys, did you see James Neal's chiclets?
Yes,
that was graphic of teeth popping out of your head as you're ever going to see.
But those have come out like 20 times. He told me and Gord the story of how the first time they came out. And he said, now they're just, you look at them and they fall out. But that was awful. And there was, about 8 of them, it seemed like?
He's got a mouth guard in, too, doesn't he?
I don't know.
Maybe he doesn't.
It's not working. If he does, it's one of the only time I've ever seen anything like that up close, Jeff Odgers was in a Odgy fight, a punch-in-the-face contest right in front of our bench. And he hit whoever the other guy was, and the guy's tooth came flying out of his mouth. And it went right over our shoulder. And Andrew Brunette looked at me, and his eyes were as big as saucers. And we're like, that's his tooth. And, like, between the two of us, we had, like, zero fights. And we're like, that's crazy. And Augie turns around, and he's all, like, hyper. And we're like, oh, man, that's crazy. He knocked a tooth right out of his head.
Yeah,
I think it was Ryan Vandenbush. I remember that.
There's another guy, too. Those guys, when they fought, they might as well have given them shovels to hit each other with. Crazy.
Yeah. Speaking of, he was up in the alumni box over the weekend.
Who?
Ryan Vandenbush.
No way.
I was terrified. He walked in. I'm like, that guy looks like he could still do some serious damage.
He's awesome. But yeah, he looks like he could take care of business.
He was up in the alumni box.
Nice.
With esteemed alumni like myself. Yeah, those are crazy fights. Guy's teeth are popping out.
He played for the Leafs?
I don't know how he got up there.
Hey, he did.
Did he play for the Leafs?
Yeah, I think he was.
I think he was. Yeah, short time late.
Short cup of coffee. Well, he's got a coat.
I got his hockey DB up here.
He's got a coat.
I don't see him here with the Leafs. He was never... He had the same credentials I had on
there
Saturday
you go.
Night.
Take the... Did he have a jacket? No way.
I don't think he had an alumni jacket. He shouldn't, because that would be under false pretenses. He was a St. John's Maple
Leaf. Here, put it this way. You tell him to leave the box and see what happens.
That would have been hysterical. Some hero walks up and goes, we're going to need you to leave. We've looked up your hockey DB.
Yeah.
And then just a right hook comes
just
across.
Just eating from a straw for a month.
All right, Ray. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
Yeah, on the way to Denver. Have a good one, boys.
Yeah, buddy. There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Ray joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline is the 2019 Toyota RAV4, the safest SUV. See for yourself at Maple Toyota and get rates from 0%. MapleToyota.com. That would have been a great story. Me and Vandenbush going at it.
Yeah.
Stretcher for you.
I'm taking out on a stretcher, and all it says in CP24 is, we don't know how this guy got in the alumni box.
He just had a blue blazer on.
Right.
That was it.
Alumni box intruders fighting.
Two guys that had no right to be in there.
Closed caption. Chicken pesto everywhere.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, he is a tough customer. He looks
I think
tough.
He's from like Port something.
He's a Simcoe Ontario guy.
Yeah, he's a Western Ontario boy. I played with him in Guelph. And the first game, it's just like, he's not a big guy.
No,
he's 6 feet. Strutty
played with him in Chicago. Like, that guy is a serious
just
man.
Just drops gloves with the biggest guy on the ice and will punch their face in. He was crazy.
Yeah. Those are not guys you want tapping on your shoulder. Yeah. I have a problem with you. Do you want to like settle this on the ice? No, thanks.
Oh, you know what he was? St. John's Maple Leafs.
That's
he played
right.
in the minors.
So, well, if he's ever in, on the rock, you
we're
know,
we're not
going to
be questioning.
That's true, actually. Who am I? We need to cut this short quickly. We're going down a road we do not want anything to do with. Some big Raptors news. They're in action tonight. Josh Lewenberg will join us in the next hour. We'll get you an update on their status for Marc Gasol tonight. Jeremy Lin, Fred VanVleet. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, Josh Lewenberg, our TSN Raptors reporter, will join us live from Scotiabank in the next hour. It's Raptors-Nets tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. Marc Gasol making his home debut. We were talking about this on Friday, the idea of a Toronto sweep, and it was close until last night. You know, the Leafs won on Saturday night. The Raptors just got past the Knicks, but they still won, so you felt pretty good about it. And then the Leafs lose last night. They go 2-1 over the weekend. You were right, Noodles.
I went in the middle. I felt like, I feel like the Rangers was a trap game. You had such a big game the Saturday night. You win it, you feel good, overtime, then you fly. It's probably a late night. And you know, Garrett Sparks, it's not great that you give up. I mean, it was his third shot, but it's early in the game, and it was a bit of a battle. And then your power play didn't click. You had 23 shots, or
I just
we
didn't
believe.
Like that McQuaid goal.
Yeah, you got to find the puck there.
Third goal, you got to stop.
Ways out. I mean,
I know Muzzin threw the ultimate pizza, but it's like,
yeah, you got to be.
That's a wrister from Adam McQuaid from the blue, like right at the blue line. That's not Mike Bossy in the slot.
No. Well, and some people are comparing it to the goal that Freddie gave up on Saturday, the Tatar goal, which was even
that
worse.
That was a knuckle puck.
It was worse, but that's Freddie Anderson has built up every type of, like, I'm fine with him allowing a muffin here.
And the context is important. The Leafs were up 2-1. That tied the game.
Right.
The third goal last night ended the game.
Ended it.
So, you know, and Freddie's lucky that the Leafs picked him up and they won the game because afterwards he played it off very coolly. He was like, that happens. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You can get away with that when you have the win.
And you're starting, like, he's built up so much goodwill because he's been great, you know.
Absolutely, but it was a brutal goal.
It was a bad goal.
It's a terrible goal.
But I mean,
if that was the game winner for the Habs and they lost, he'd have to answer for it.
You talk about it, yeah.
But because they won, it was like, yeah, whatever, it happens.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all the greats give up bad goals. It's how they respond after and the next game, and they don't allow it to define them. That's the beauty of being a starter, is you're going right back in the net. You know, 2 days later, 4 days later, with the backup, you got to live with it for a little bit longer time. I know the Leafs' schedule is starting to condense a little bit, so Sparks is going to be right back in there, I believe, this week.
I don't know if he will be. They play Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Tuesday. I don't know if he will play because they got Colorado, Vegas, Arizona, St. Louis. They got days off in between every game. You know, they're just coming off the All-Star break and the bye.
Would you give him Arizona to break it up?
But Arizona's kind of owned the Maple Leafs in recent years.
They're coming on, too. They're a team. I watched them play the other night. Like, they work hard.
Yeah.
That's one thing Arizona does. And, you know, they're talk about Anaheim being banged up. Arizona's 100-man games behind them, but now they've lost their ninth regular player.
Right.
So it's they're struggling.
They're not getting back into it.
No,
you know it's over for them. It feels like it's out west. Minnesota, St. Louis, Chicago's played themselves into it.
Yep.
You know Colorado, if they can get going again.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's starting to be some separation.
Yeah, a little bit of separation out there. We're off to Vegas on Wednesday. Someone texting and a bunch of people have been writing in wondering, you know, if we're going to be doing shows on the Strip or at the casino or anything. We're not. We're doing it in like an ESPN radio studio. So. We can't really invite anyone to come find us or anything because we're not doing the shows out in public. But we'll be down there cruising around.
Yeah.
And hopefully the weather turns. It was snowing in Vegas last night.
I heard that.
Snowing.
It's going to be snowing here, too, apparently.
Tomorrow, people are already gearing up.
I'm just telling you guys right now, I'm not doing what I did a couple weeks ago. I will not come in here tomorrow if it's garbage.
Well, then leave earlier.
Yeah, you might have to leave.
That's the answer. Instead of coming late, leave an hour and a half earlier.
No, it's dangerous.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. It's dangerous driving
around. It's not dangerous.
Weather.
But people have to do it. You got to do it. You got to. People have to work.
I'll do a 20-minute segment off the top.
I'll be in Ottawa.
You're not here tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm calling Ottawa, Carolina tomorrow and then flying back so I can jump on the flight with you guys to Vegas on Wednesday.
Okay.
But mine's going to be a spicy. Talk about travel. Going to be ugly travel.
Well, what's the weather supposed to be like on Wednesday?
Is it not good?
I don't think it's not going to be as bad as tomorrow. Tomorrow's supposed to be like a really heavy snowfall. Yeah, a lot of snow. Maybe some freezing ice. It shouldn't shut the city down the way that it does. Like, are we getting softer as a city? Like, this premeditated pulling of the chute is concerning me with our city, because I do find that a lot of people are already like, oh, I'm not even going to be here on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Why don't we wait to see what happens before we start, you know, changing our plans?
Yeah. Shout out to Al, who's on death's
door. Yeah, Al is on death's door. Al's not in. The grappler's in today.
Yeah, the grappler.
Elbows up in the corner.
Grinding away.
The grappler is actually really bringing
it. Wearing oven mitts back there.
He's doing a great job.
Way to work.
In a straitjacket. Old grapples.
They just wheeled him in on like a dolly. Just sat him behind the
with a mask.
Computer.
Yeah. The Hannibal Lecter routine.
Yeah. Just sitting there.
Yeah. That's the grapple.
Off the trolley. Here's your producer.
Yeah. The grappler. They didn't even invite him in. They just pulled him out of a closet here.
Yeah. Hello,
wheeled
Clarice.
Him in.
Yeah.
Love it.
The Graps.
That could be one of the better nicknames out there.
The Grappler, it's the best. It cuts right to the chase.
Yeah,
you know everything. You can read a book by its cover by knowing the guy's nickname.
Yeah, he is a mixed martial artist, sumo wrestler, with the best of them.
In every situation. Yeah. See, he's ready for the tilt.
You should have had the grappler with you the other night when Vandenbush was looking at you sideways.
I'm honestly nervous that we're talking about it too much. Like, I'm going to run into this guy again, and he is going to lay me out.
Be like, I heard what you said.
Yeah, I heard you.
He would take care of you and Grapples.
I don't know, man. I think Grapples, the grappler could take care of himself. He's got a reputation.
Grip
precedes him.
Yeah, he would just go in the back room and dummy someone, or grapple.
Do you see this report about in New England? This is the thing that bothers me about the NFL, is that they keep giving material to the Patriots to believe that the rest of the world is against them, to put a chip on their shoulder, as bogus as it is and manufactured as it might be. This is the upcoming 100th anniversary for the NFL. And ever since 06, they've had a... you know, tradition here. They're trying to build up a tradition. Whoever wins the Super Bowl gets to host opening night the next year. There are reports out there, courtesy, I believe, of Sports Business Daily, that the league is looking at Packers-Bears opening night. So the Patriots, even though they won the Super Bowl, will not host the season opener on Thursday night at Gillette.
Right.
And the belief is this is Goodell so that he doesn't have to show up, he doesn't have to be there, he doesn't have to get booed, he doesn't have to get clowned on by all the Pats fans. But now New England and the Patriots and Boston sports fans are going to spin this into a bit of a controversy,
right,
or even a conspiracy theory that it's Goodell and that they're just, it has nothing to do with the 100th anniversary, that they're, you know, spitting on tradition because of the Pats.
Do you think Goodell is, for lack of better words, that petty? Do you think in some layer...
I think he hates the New England Patriots.
Yeah, I think he
detests them. Loathing of, like, significant proportions.
Right.
I'm not sure. I mean, they just win their...
Was he on site the other day to handshake?
Yeah, well, he was at the Super Bowl.
But I didn't see... Like, remember the year... The time they won it before, so a couple years prior, he had the awkward handshake with Brady.
That was after Deflategate and the suspension and everything. And remember, he didn't show up at Gillette for the AFC Championship game.
Right.
He went to the NFC Championship game in Atlanta, I think it was. So he completely avoided ever showing up at the stadium. Then he did show up the opening night the next year when they played host to Kansas City. Remember, we were watching that game, and the Chiefs blew the doors off the Pats.
What does it matter? You're going to get booed. Like,
I know.
Gary Bettman, like, hey, bring it on.
That's life, man. As a commissioner, that's what happens. But I'm just saying, I think the rest of the league is like, you don't give them any material in New England to feel like the league is against them, or they're, you know, don't add any more chips to their shoulders, because it's getting obnoxious, it's getting too loud, it's annoying. And they win all the time, so don't change the tradition now and give them an opportunity to say, oh, really? You want us to stuff it in your face again?
To be the underdogs and go at it again.
Exactly. So you're going to prop up the Packers and the Bears, which has such a rich history, but what about us? We won the Super Bowl. We're supposed to be hosting opening night.
Yep.
And Goodell, you got to show up and put a smile on and deal with it. If we boo you and clown you, so be it.
Yep.
Josh Lumenberg coming up. Dave Poulin, he'll join us from a player, coach, and management perspective on what's been going on in Anaheim. We'll get his take on the Maple Leafs as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, we have a pair of tickets to give away. Big, big pair of tickets people are saying maybe the biggest tickets ever given away.
Really?
Maple Leafs, Canadians, Saturday, February 23rd. Like, this might be the biggest ticket giveaway in history.
That's also a massive day. It's my birthday.
Are you, you got to get down to the game then. You can't do Collingwood that night. You've got to get in the alumni box.
Alumni box with Ryan Vandenbosch.
Ryan Vandenbosch, a couple other guys who are always kicking around.
But they, I will add. I will add to the giveaway. I'll maybe sign a jersey, something, because it's my birthday.
Okay.
A birthday jersey.
Leafs Habs, Saturday, February 23rd.
Forget
every
it,
day
just
this
get,
week.
Do the tickets.
Yeah, we'll just do tickets. Yeah. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you can call in and name that Leaf. If you're the first one to answer correctly, you and a friend will be headed to the game. The clue today, courtesy of our good friend,
Al.
The Grappler.
The Grapples.
This player tied for the league lead in shorthanded goals at his position during one season in his career. That's a great clue.
Michael Grabner.
It might be.
Could be.
It could
Stumpy
be.
Thomas.
Yeah, it might be. This player tied for the league lead in shorthanded goals at his position during one season in his career. So that's your clue for the day. Leafs Habs in a couple of weeks. I love it that they play each other two more times.
Yeah, I thought that was a great game on Saturday night. It was entertaining. They were both relevant. It was fast. There were some good goals.
50-50 crowd.
Yep.
Awesome.
We're getting so many conflicting reports. I had a guy say 60-40. Had another guy go
75-30.
Either way.
My favorite one was, I think it was 70-30, but the Leafs crowd made it sound like 50-50.
That's a good pull. That's
whatever
actually
the hell
a good
that
take.
Means. Yeah. So, anyway.
Awesome game.
Dave Pullen will join us. We'll look back on the Leaf weekend. A lot of different storylines throughout the NHL. We'll get back into Ken Hitchcock really just distancing himself from his own team on Saturday night. Basically saying, not me. Don't look at me, man. Yes. I'm trying.
What a brutal comment. It's bad when the coaches care more than the players. That's when you talk about, I never really believed in tuning a coach out. But if you want me to tune you out, fire that one out there.
He had to circle back today and clarify.
Oh yeah, that was the old Sam Reinhardt circle.
I guarantee
back.
You, somebody said, like, if McDavid stood up and said, "You better like smarten up here."
Yeah,
because like that's to me, that's. I mean, he said context, but it doesn't matter.
That's just a dumpster fire comment. That's what happens in dumpster fires. Guys are frustrated and they say stupid things.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So Pooley will join us to talk about that, and Josh Lewenberg on some big news items with the Raptors. We'll get to that in the next hour. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.